With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live, as always, from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rockin' Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Colin Kaepernick has an open workout organized by the NFL. Will anybody bite? Also, we deliver a champ and a chump. It's all coming up this hour on the show. We'll also talk college football playoff rankings. Did the committee screw Minnesota? That's coming up an hour from now. As always, dial us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS. Our next guest is part of the Pro Football Focus family. Former NFL defensive back, former member of the NFL on CBS, longtime friend of the DA show, our friend, senior NFL analyst Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, good morning.
DA, good morning to you, and glad to be on with you today.
Appreciate you, man. And let's go back to Monday night, Niners and Seahawks. It was a crazy game. Niners handed their first loss. Did you take away from that the Seahawks can be Super Bowl caliber? Or did you think just crazy game, divisional foes, anything can happen?
No, I have a lot of respect for the San Francisco 49ers and their play calling and the prowess of that defensive front. And obviously you've got to respect Russell Wilson. He now has more fourth quarter come from behind wins than any quarterback since he has entered the league. What we were waiting to see from Seattle to see if they were serious players beyond Russell Wilson was, can they mount a good defense? And if Jadeveon Clowney continues to play like he did in the Monday night game,
yeah,
they will be formidable. They have other presence on defense, but they needed a special playmaker pass rusher. And if he plays with that kind of energy, then I'm going to pencil them in as a contender in the NFC.
Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson might be the two front runners for the MVP right now. When you look at both of their play, it's spectacular. But if you look at both of their play, who's been more efficient in winning and making big plays for their teams?
It's still Russell Wilson. And I know Lamar Jackson has all the splash plays and his ability to transform that entire football team in terms of what they're doing in the running game. They run inside zone. He's part of that. They run power plays. He's part of that. They run this counter run play where he's also very efficient. And he's not turning the ball over. He has the lowest number of turnover-worthy plays for a quarterback who's played in all 10 games of any quarterback in the league. And that's five. Russell Wilson has six. Now, he's only had two interceptions, Russell Wilson. So both guys are playing at an extremely high level. But Russell Wilson truly is carrying his team. I think he's the front runner for MVP right now.
Solomon Wilcott joins us from Pro Football Focus. We just played an audio soundbite last hour of Saquon Barkley saying, I don't want to be shut down. I don't care if I've got the bum ankle. I want to keep playing, which is admirable. But we're wondering, why haven't the Giants been able to figure out an effective way to use Saquon this year? Do you think it's been injury, or do you think it's been just a lack of ingenuity and effectiveness from the coaching staff?
I think it's a combination of both. I think initially he came out with guns a-blazing, then he was injured. They had to shut him down. Then the offense kind of got into really trying to groom the quarterback, right? I mean, let's face it, when they put this game plan together, what is your priority? Let's get the ball to Saquon Barkley, or let's figure out how to help our young quarterback and bring him along. You have to choose one or the other. Now, I think Saquon can be part of that plan, but if he's less than 100%, then you can't really make him part of that plan maybe as much as you would like to. So I think it's a much more complicated equation, because if the Giants were being really, I think, forthcoming and transparent, they would say, look, our priority is to really help our young quarterback. We've got to figure out how we're going to get him going and keep him upright more than anything else.
What has the trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick meant to the Steelers' defense?
Well, D.A., I was high on this move from the beginning. I thought he was a playmaker and chess piece missing from that defense since Troy Polamalu left the Steelers. I think the Dolphins were banking after the Steelers lost Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah, let's go ahead and deal it, because this will be a very high pick. Steelers are going nowhere. What they forgot to do is check that under this head coach and Mike Tomlin, they have yet to have a losing season. They have never had a record worse than 8-8 since Mike Tomlin has been coaching now 13 years. And so that first-round pick seems like it's going to be a low first-rounder. And if you're the Steelers, you get dividends now for a bill that's not going to be expensive later, because this defense is as good as any at taking the ball away and scoring when they do so.
Solomon Wilcots joins us, Pro Football Focus. Let's keep on that track, because I think a lot of people said, why would you trade a one? Those are so valuable. The Steelers never trade a one. But as you just mentioned, he was only two games into his second year on a rookie contract. So in reality, how smart was it for the Steelers to basically be trading for a first-round draft pick that just basically had a year under his belt?
I sat with people, and I've done other radio shows at that time in September, and they said, well, they may need a quarterback. Ben, we don't know if Ben's coming back. And I said, listen, the Steelers have always been resilient. If they win enough games, they win enough games to say 8-8 or better, this is a low first-round pick. And secondly, they need a player of this magnitude, where the secondary, I thought, has been the Achilles heel for this team over the last 2 to 3 years. You saw week number one when Tom Brady picked his secondary apart, and he's done that in maybe each of the last 2 or 3 years. Now with a playmaker like Fitzpatrick, who's got a tremendously high football IQ, learned under Nick Saban at Alabama, he can make plays on the ball. He's showing that. You do not miss on getting a player like that. And he's a perfect fit for the Steel City, who we all know, they love defense. They love defensive playmakers. So I think it's a marriage made in heaven for a head coach who loves coaching the secondary. So, they did the right thing. They're stacking up the wins to even pay off the fact that this was a great move by the Steelers and Kevin Colbert.
What's your read on Brian Flores? 2 weeks ago when the Dolphins got their first win, he was handed the game ball. The players seemed to really respond and rally around him, really celebrating with him. Now he gets his second victory. It's a franchise that seemed like they were trying to tank early in the season by trading away all of their pieces. What does it say to you about the fact that Flores has been able to win a couple of games this year?
Yeah, I think organizationally, yeah, they were like, let's mortgage now for the future. If we get that first overall pick, great. Let's accumulate a bunch of picks, and let's get the guys out of here who don't want to be here, okay? A player like Rashad Jones, who probably deserves to be on another roster, they tried to move him. They end up having to move Minkah Fitzpatrick because they were getting more overtures and more thrown at them for Fitzpatrick. But, you know, with Brian Flores as a coach, you know what you're going to do no matter what the organization says we want to do. A head coach is going to try to win every game. He's going to try to motivate the players that he has. Even though he may be going into a gunfight with a slingshot, he's still trying to win. And he's still trying to motivate his guys to give everything they have. So I think it's a credit to his ability to teach, to motivate his players, and still go out and win despite being shorthanded. I think it bodes well for his future moving forward. Now we have to see how they utilize these draft picks to accumulate assets who will fit in their structure, who will buy into the way that they want to do things.
Senior NFL analyst Solomon Wilcots for Pro Football Focus joining us this morning on the show. So Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury, I certainly was very skeptical that this thing would work in the NFL. And this year, it's worked enough. I've been kind of surprised that it's worked this well. What's been your analysis, big picture, of what the Cardinals have done thus far and what you think the future is for Kyler and Cliff?
Yeah, I think what the future is, I'll answer the last part of that first. The future for the coach and the quarterback is maybe sets the tone for other teams moving forward, that you have to have a coach who can groom and develop the player at that position, who has the right idea for how to utilize that player so that they can fully develop and then help you win games. And then the rest is you got to develop a team around that player who that can help you win games. So, for instance, what does this mean now for Greg Roman, who's the coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, who has a system uniquely designed for Lamar Jackson that's helped them win a division title 1 year ago? It looks like they may contend for a trip to the Super Bowl this year. So Greg Roman is the next guy because, remember, he won with this formula in San Francisco as a coordinator with Colin Kaepernick. He had the league's number one rushing offense in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor. And now he's doing it again in Buffalo. So I think Greg Roman's stock is going to rise by what you're seeing with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. But this was a really good move by this team. They've got a marquee quarterback who's got tremendous arm talent that reminds you of Patrick Mahomes. He can move around as good as Lamar Jackson. And now he's just got to stay healthy, upright, and keep winning games in order for this model to continue to work. But if they keep it up, now remember, they're in a loaded division. So I don't know how the W's are going to come, but it sure looks good and looks like it's trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Finally, we're going to talk about this Colin Kaepernick workout coming up here on the show. So I'm interested to get your thoughts as well. Do you think there will be teams who are credibly interested in going and seeing him and thinking about adding him to a roster?
I think there will. I think enough time has passed since his last season in 2016 and since politically we had people fanning the flames to unite against him and sort of distorted that whole message, where I think it really did sort of it brought caution to some of the minds of general managers and owners saying that we're going to have protesters if we sign this guy. So I think enough time now has passed to where I think there might be one or two teams who would seriously consider signing Colin if he looks good in this workout, if he throws the ball with accuracy and we know he can move. What Lamar Jackson is doing now in the league, I think also has helping people to shape just potentially how he might even be used in an offense and how he can win games. You look at teams across the landscape of the NFL right now. You're telling me teams like the Dolphins or teams like the Cincinnati Bengals or teams like the Redskins couldn't use a Colin Kaepernick right now? Oh, of course they could. And so, no, I think there'll be teams interested. I know people saying that this might be a farce in terms of what the league is doing. I understand corporate governance. Yes, they've already given a settlement to Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying that's an admission of guilt, but it certainly isn't an admission of innocence, okay? And at the end of the day, for them to provide this platform, whether they mean it to be real or not, I think teams are going to be there doing their own business. And if he performs well, I think he could find his way back into the NFL.
That's really interesting. I think that's well said. PFF.com, premium stats and analysis, pro football focus. If you're an armchair GM, you're looking for fantasy advice, you're looking for gambling advice, this is a good place to get it. PFF.com, premium stats and analysis, promo code QB25, and get 25% off your elite subscription. Solomon, it's always awesome to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it.
DA, you're the best. Thanks for having me.
Back at you. Solomon Wilcox joining us this morning on the show. And I really like his point on Lamar Jackson, that the league could be seeing that you can have real effectiveness with a totally out-of-the-box, unconventional quarterback scheme, and that maybe Lamar Jackson's success is encouraging NFL teams to be kicking the tires on Cap, see if he's got anything left, see what his body is like, his speed is like. But, you know, I'm reminded of the Ravens early in the season when John Harbaugh said, we're going to run an offense nobody's ever seen before in the NFL. Nobody's ever seen an offense like this. And what you're seeing is, it is like that. It is like that in many ways. And maybe that changed some thoughts on a guy like Kaepernick. I want to talk more about this coming up after the break, because Kaepernick obviously still carries such a stigma for many people for kneeling during the national anthem. Would a team sign him after this workout? Let's talk about that next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I hate initial guy, like Antonio Brown was with the AB. Initial guy stinks.
Kind of like, you know, DA.
Oh.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Dixieland Dan tweets, this doesn't make any sense. How in the hell does Mraz know that Istanbul is the capital of Turkey, but doesn't know how far Boise is from Cleveland or what rivers flow through the United States? Hashtag what?
I know now.
Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. There's so many different ways you can listen to the show. You can listen via the wonderful CBS Sports Radio Network, terrestrial affiliates everywhere across the country. Also, you can listen using SiriusXM, channel 206. You can listen on your phone for free. Stream us. Use the radio.com app, CBS Sports app, or Apple Music, or watch us for free. No subscription needed. Just go to watchda.com.
Boise's in the middle.
Joe tweets, DA, tell Mraz he's wrong. Istanbul is a city in Turkey. However, Ankara is the capital.
I didn't realize Montana bordered Canada.
I can't kill Mraz there because I didn't know what the capital of Turkey was either. But I will say that yesterday, after Mraz declared on the air for the first time, at least since I remember, that he had once applied to Duke, a thread of all of my closest friends that know Mraz, that listen to the show, spent the entire day discussing what are the odds and how ridiculous it was that Mraz did apply to Duke once upon a time. That Mraz never took an SAT nor an ACT and then spent 3 years or three and a half at the two-year school.
Three at the two-year school, two and a half at the four-year school.
So the resume for Mraz was no SATs, no ACTs, 3 years getting a two-year degree at a community college.
Didn't get the degree, though. I felt the science class short.
Okay, so let me just go back. Mraz's resume was no SAT, no ACT, spent 3 years at a two-year school and didn't get the degree and applied to Duke at that point. That was his resume.
Cleveland would be 8 hours, so how much longer to Boise? Another two?
And Mraz's rationale was, I wanted to go to Cameron. I wanted to get to Cameron Indoor.
Yeah, and my cousin had gone there. It was the only like big school one of my family members had gone to, and I became a Duke basketball fan as a kid. So I wanted to go.
Right, right. So the idea was plunk down money on a application fee that clearly is going to not get you in, or take that money and just spend it on a ticket to a Duke game. Like, if you spend $100 on the application fee, just use the $100 on buying the ticket.
That's fair. However, I mean, the experience of, you know, being there all the time.
Oh, I get that. I get that. But
I said one of my family members got in. How hard could it be?
I would love to know what your essay was. Did you write an essay?
I got to be honest. I don't remember. This is like 15 years ago. I liked
Michelangelo.
I don't remember a lot of what went into this. I just remember I didn't want to go away to school because I didn't want to shower with other people.
Right. Communal showers was always a break point for you in traveling to go away to school and not living at home.
But I said, why not? Just take a shot. If I do want to go away, I'd go to Duke.
Shoot your shot.
Shoot my shot. The problem was there were other schools I could drive to that also said no.
Well, right. Exactly.
But I do think if I passed that science and held on to that two-year degree, because I applied after I left.
Yeah.
And it was a little summer that was dicey. I don't know if I was going to be in school in the fall. Westbury took me in. I thought maybe if I got that degree, if I had the degree, they wouldn't care about such things and I'd be good to go. So yeah. I always look back and wonder what would happen if I passed that science class.
I think you need better grades. I think you need better grades. I think you need to take the SAT. And I think probably there's not a lot of people that transfer into Duke, one of the most prestigious academic institutions in America, out of a community college, is my guess.
There's probably some JUCO football players that go.
Okay, well, they play football.
look, I understand how ridiculous in hindsight this looks, but you have to put yourself in my position back then. And I will say this. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, because if I went to Duke, I may not be here right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I mean.
Who knows where I would be?
Yep. I just also love the idea that Mraz had these schools on his list of applying out of community college. SUNY Old Westbury, SUNY Stony Brook. Those are two state universities within the New York system. You also had
SUNY Purchase.
SUNY Purchase, another state school.
CW Post.
Is that a state school?
No.
That is not. CW Post. Okay, another kind of smaller school on Long Island.
NYIT, the New York Institute of Technology.
And what were you going to do there?
They had a media program as well.
Okay. So you weren't going to be anything really like in terms of a techie. You were
no,
just going to be.
Yeah, like I don't know what I would have done media-wise. I was looking at what programs they had.
Not exactly.
Try to investigate you.
Not exactly an engineer.
No.
But, okay.
Every school had a newspaper I could write.
So Mraz applied to Duke. And his safety school was SUNY Old Westbury.
Fair.
But hey, the trajectory worked. Your career has flowered so much so that you've got saboteurs.
Yeah, and SUNY Old Westbury hits me all the time now for money. I'm like their prestigious alumni.
Right. You're actually one of the most successful and notable alumni at that school, so you win.
I go to Duke. I'm behind Daniel Jones and Christian Laettner and R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson.
No doubt.
I go to Old Westbury. I'm top of the line. Who got who?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And it's electric.
Colin Kaepernick. What a transition. Colin Kaepernick now has a workout this week for all 32 NFL teams. So coming up in a couple of days, the NFL office sent out a memo to all 32 teams that Colin Kaepernick will have a workout. Now, this is interesting. This is not a workout organized just by his representatives sending out invites to teams. This is the NFL office sending out an invite to all the 32 teams, alerting them. So what does that do? Well, the first part of that to me is the league office telling the teams, hey, it's okay to work out with him. It's okay to go see him. It's okay. You know, we're not against this. That's the first thing it says to me. If this was just Colin Kaepernick's representative saying, okay, on Saturday, he's going to work out again, and nobody shows up, who cares? But this is the league office telling its teams, everybody, there's going to be a workout for Colin. I think from a football standpoint, I really enjoyed what Solomon Wilcott said last segment, that perhaps the success of Lamar Jackson and how unconventional that offense is in Baltimore has maybe made teams around the NFL more interested and enticed by what Kaepernick could do. The Ravens have run more counterplays than almost anybody in the league. They've also run more power running plays than almost anybody in the league. He's had more designed rushing attempts in 2019 than anybody else. In fact, Lamar Jackson's had twice as many almost rushing attempts designed for him than the second place quarterback, being Kyler Murray. The inside zone concept, Ravens are using more than any other team in the NFL. They are doing things that nobody else in the NFL are doing, and they are doing it because of Lamar Jackson. And considering Colin Kaepernick in his prime, at his peak, had a similar skill set, strong arm, very slippery, obviously a tremendous running back, big strides, fast, etc., you could see a similar type of offense being run with Kaepernick, kind of the way that the Niners ran the early part of Kaepernick's career. So I think that's interesting here. And I wonder if NFL teams were interested in Cap, working him out, seeing where he is physically, but didn't want to run afoul with the league. Because let's face it, 3 years ago, signing Colin Kaepernick was going to be a nightmare for the league because you had so many people that were against him. You had a president that had spoken out against him. it was such a hot button topic that signing Colin Kaepernick on your roster, the NFL didn't want, whether the NFL specifically declared this to its teams, don't sign Colin Kaepernick, who knows? But you know that the league was very sensitive to not open up Pandora's box there. And I think a lot of teams probably still wonder, well, is it okay if we sign him? Are we going to get pushback from the league office? Will the other 31 owners be all over me? What's our relationship with the television networks? What's our relationship with corporate sponsors? What's our relationship with the military? All these types of things, I think, factored in. And so I think, this is just my read, I don't know. I think, number one, Lamar Jackson's success made some teams eager to say, well, could we sign Cap if he was good enough to play? Could we run an offense like that? Would that be cool? And the NFL is essentially saying here, you know what? We're giving the green light to everybody to kick the tires on him. This is our way to say it's fine. Do I think that some of this might be behind the scenes a bit of a dog and pony show? Yeah. I think that the NFL might have done this for legal purposes. I think when they settled with Colin Kaepernick, they admitted something via the settlement. Some type of guilt there in this. How much so? Who knows? But I wonder if part of the equation was, at some point in time, Colin needs to be available for all 32 teams. I wonder if this was part of the settlement. I also wonder if the NFL is just covering its bases legally by, there might be teams out there that might be kind of interested because quarterbacks have dropped like flies and Lamar Jackson's success, and the NFL doesn't want to have any evidence of a blackball. And so this is them covering their bases, knowing nobody will sign him. That's possible. I think, honestly, nothing comes of this. I just don't think that Kaepernick, 3 years later, is anything near what Lamar Jackson is right now at 22 years old. Lamar is 22. And he's doing things physically that nobody else can do, and that includes Kaepernick. I think there will be some teams that show up to this. I think, my guess is Kaepernick will not be as sharp as he once was when he played in the NFL. And I think nobody's going to end up signing him. I think this just is a way for the NFL to cover its bases on Cap. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we come back, I've got a champ. And I've got a chump. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Radio Hall of Fame ceremony is Friday night, so I am not working on Friday. And if I'm not mistaken, my man DA is. DA, holding it down. Damon, appreciate you. Thank you very much.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That was fun to fill in for Jim on Friday. Jim Rome goes into the Radio Hall of Fame. Looked like an amazing weekend with him and his crew and his former crew at the Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony at Gotham Hall in New York City, judging from his Instagram. Sounded like an awesome weekend as well when he came on the air on Monday. So very cool. Congrats to Jim and the entire crew on the Jim Rome Show. Sunday, an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic quarterbacks of the sport. When Jackson and the Ravens welcome Watson and the Texans, followed by New England bracing for another tough road game in Philly. It all starts with the JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Laredo tweets, DA, Cap can't throw accurately. He has no touch. He rifles to receivers 10 yards away. He throws 10 feet too high to receivers of the end zone. All he's known for is running like a daddy long legs. No doubt Cap, by the end of his tenure in San Francisco, had a lot of flaws in his game. The flip side of that is, I mean, we've seen some really garbage quarterbacks in the NFL since he has not been in the league. So I think pinpointing his inaccuracy or his quarterback skills specifically is kind of ignoring the elephant in the room. I understand how polarizing he is. I know the type of emotion he brings upon people, and I think that's the biggest reason that he's not in the NFL and hasn't been for the last 3 years. At this point in time, I don't think we can really specifically say what his football is anymore. I mean, he could have no legs anymore and no arm. He could be remarkably accurate with his arm, but not really scramble. He could be really strong with his legs, and we would have really no idea with 3 years out of the game. But when you see the trash quarterbacks that have played the NFL over the last 3 years, picking apart his quarterback skills, to me, feels it's missing the mark. It's just, it's not the biggest reason that he hasn't been in football. And I think it's easier and clearer to see now than maybe it was at the time. But certainly now, after 3 years of a parade of bozos that have been backups and third stringers and called in off the street, practice squad guys, training camp guys, I mean, you know, the biggest reason is the obvious one. Sometimes the right answer is the most obvious answer, is the easiest answer. Do I think anything's going to come of this workout? I don't, because you're going to sign Colin Kaepernick for the final 6 weeks of the season. That doesn't seem likely. Also, what's he going to look like after 3 years out of football? My guess is pretty rusty. And is there going to be widespread interest in him coming up on Saturday? I doubt it. There will be no media available at it, so it's going to be a closed workout. I don't ultimately think that he gets signed. A lot of people criticizing the Evansville Aces final call from last night after they knocked off number one Kentucky at Rupp Arena. Eric tweets, "Wow, that was the most boring call on the most exciting win of the season. We just have to clone Kevin Harlan to call all of the games. He is the GOAT." Could you imagine Harlan calling the Evansville Aces over Kentucky in the NCAA tournament? And granted, in March Madness, it would have been a bigger call. It would have meant more. But let's play this final call again, because there's just absolutely no juice on this call.
Sestina looks to inbounds. He throws it into Maxey with 5 seconds. Maxey with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a 3. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shut college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCarty and his return to Kentucky.
People were comparing that to Chaminade knocking off Virginia in 1982. People were talking about Alaska Anchorage knocking off number two Michigan in 1988 in the same breath. And you have number one Kentucky going down at home to Evansville, who was picked to finish eighth out of 10 teams in the Missouri Valley. They were 25-point favorites, Kentucky was. 25-point favorites. It's tied for the third biggest college basketball upset in the last decade and a half. I don't know. Give me Super Dave Freeman on the call. Super Dave's going to join us tomorrow to do college football picks. When you hear him do the final call of Winthrop's upset over St. Mary's, that's some juice here.
Free throw up, no good. St. Mary's the rebound. Gales down 2, 5 seconds to go. Jordan Ford drives to the bucket. Floater up, no good. And it's over. Winthrop shocks number 18, St. Mary's.
Amazing that Super Dave sounds like that calling a game and then sounds like he does just picking games for us.
Yeah, I love the North Texas quarterback. Like, it doesn't sound anything like that.
Nothing like it.
I love it, though. I want to listen to more Winthrop games and the Bearded Car Cast and go to a diner outside Bristol, Connecticut.
He's great. He's great at what he does. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. GEICO.
Rob.com. Rob the 3-2-1. The Evansville call was as boring as the Royals winning the World Series in 2015 with Denny Matthews.
The Royals are champs. Pop fly, that'll do it. The Royals win the World Series. Post game after this.
As a Michigan fan, Evansville play-by-play guy should have called that W as App State guys when they shocked the Wolverines of the Big House. Hashtag, you had one chance! I've got a champ, and I've got a chump.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
The champ of the morning is the city of Seattle. How cool was this? The city of Seattle not only rolled out the red carpet over the weekend for the MLS Cup championship match between the Seattle Sounders and the Toronto FC, with fans in the streets, marching to the stadium, bands playing, chants all over the place. I mean, the city really came alive for a soccer match, which was pretty amazing to see. But also, inside the stadium, they packed 69,000 people in there for MLS Cup. Now, note, that is the biggest crowd ever in that stadium, and that's the home of the Seahawks. They've never had a bigger crowd in that stadium. That includes Seahawks playoff games. That city took to that team and took to that sport, and that is one of the reasons why the MLS is on really steady ground and growing, and which is why it's great to see in our country that it's really worked. And last year in Atlanta, they had more than 70,000 people actually in Atlanta, home of the Falcons for Atlanta United. And then this year, same thing. So back-to-back MLS Cup games, you've had more than 70,000 people essentially. But also, the city of Seattle threw a parade for them. There is actually a parade downtown Seattle for fans to come out in support of, and the crowd was crazy. That's a Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday at noon in Seattle, and people came out for a parade for an MLS team. I thought that was so cool. The city loves its Sounders. The organization's given back to the city in many ways. It's become a model organization. And to see the victory parade in downtown Seattle, Russell Wilson was there, Ciara was there, the city was in high spirits. That was really cool and a sign of something that's really building across the country, specifically in cities like Seattle.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump, the exact opposite, because the Knicks are not going to have a parade in a long time. The Knicks front office, after finally people realizing, oh, wait, another reboot's not working. Another coach isn't working. Another trade didn't work out. Another set of rookies isn't working. Another roster build isn't working. What happened? The Knicks are embarrassing again. The coach that they hired, David Fizdale, is now on the hot seat. And after a loss on Sunday, Steve Mills and his right-hand man, Steve Perry, come out and they say that they're unhappy and they want to address the media and essentially grease the skids now to fire David Fizdale. And Fizdale as head coach might be a mistake. He might have been a mistake. Fizdale was supposed to be able to bring in star players through free agency. That clearly didn't happen. Fizdale hasn't been able to seemingly figure out the point guard position. Fizdale and this team is the worst team again in basketball. But the fact that Steve Mills has been there for the better part of 20 years and that he now once again is greasing the skids for somebody else to take the fall, is just amazing. It just tells you all you need to know about survival within that Knicks organization. Steve Mills and Scott Perry have been around forever, and they just tell James Dolan what he wants to hear, and they always pass the buck. Oh, it's going to be great. Oh, we've got a plan. Oh, we're going to draft this guy. We're going to trade for this guy. We're going to open up a lot of max cap space. We're going to sign this guy. We're going to hire this guy. Nothing ever works, and James Dolan keeps believing those two buffoons. And yet, everything they touch turns to turd. Everything. That is two of the biggest dunces in an NBA front office, and Dolan has kept them employed for decades. Decades. And blames everybody else. Oh, it's got to be the coach. Oh, it's got to be the coach. Oh, it's got to be Phil Jackson. Oh, it's got to be somebody. It's got to be Carmelo. Oh, it's got to be the Ross. It's got to be this. It's got to be Porzingis. It's always somebody else except those two guys. They survive. The cockroaches that you cannot kill, Scott Perry, Steve Mills, are two total disasters. Those guys are your chumps.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
I got to say, good news. The pork store was open on Saturday night, and nobody deleted anything out of the computer file. So that's good. Now five shows, only two of them disturbed from deleted computer files. But, you know, last week's PGP did shed some light on some potential culprits or suspects. And now I'm wondering if I'm also in the crosshairs. We'll talk about multiple saboteurs here on the DA Show coming up next, plus the Golden Gophers and the committee.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.